Oh, dear ones, how do we sing our thanks and praise today? The gift of our very existence and the pain and grief that comes from living. How do we sing our thanks and praise at this moment? As I said in the pastoral prayer, each of us has arrived here in our own time and space, in our own emotional state of joy or sorrow. We may be weary or exuberant, or as often the case, all of the above, depending on which thing our brain is focused on in any given moment. School years start, and we experience relief for the kids having something to do, and maybe also grieve their departures to campuses and other places of learning that are further away from us than maybe we'd like them to be. Teachers and administrators excited to meet new students and saddened to learn of some of their struggles. Elders begin to show signs of aging that impact their independence, and families begin the process of determining what's next. The country's government continues to run amok, destroying democracy one heinous act after another, one confirmation hearing, one press conference after another. Some of you had personal, shocking, and tragic news this weekend. Some of you were blessed with unexpected joy. And Reverend Findlow wants us to sing our thanks and praise for it all. How do we do that? Particularly when life is terribly bleak, when diagnoses or finances or circumstances are overwhelming. How do we find hope in the hours of our deepest despair? How do we trust when we feel such betrayal? These past few weeks have had a lot of us in that place. Those of us who have experienced unwanted comments or touch, those of us who have been sexually violated, those who love, those of us who have been. I do not come with praise and thanks for my experiences or the stories that I have been shared with me from women, queer folks, and a few men. I come with rage. I come with sorrow. I come with determination. Each of us carries the burdens of what it means to be alive, even as we carry the joys. And we can carry those burdens consciously or unconsciously. Many of us have been taught to hide them, perhaps for fear of rejection or fear that if we talk about it, we might be judged for not being able to handle it, or worse, that we won't be believed. Some are worried that if we start crying, we might not stop, so maybe it's better to not start. Some of us were taught to not dwell on the hard stuff, adopt a positive attitude, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, put on a happy face, and all that. Or turn the other cheek, or shrug and try to find comfort by saying everything must happen for a reason. But these strategies don't actually work. We need to give ourselves some time and space to experience these hard emotions. Being present to what is going on in us and around us. I suspect that is a key to having a healthy relationship with doubt, with despair, tragedy, sadness, broken hearts, unfulfilled promises, broken agreements and contracts, and the random you-know-what that just sometimes happens to us. Putting a positive spin on something right away denies us the opportunity to actually feel the loss, the grief, the disappointment, the rage. Time to cry. Stuffing our emotions down does no good for anyone, and often makes us sick. And sometimes we get to choose when and where to feel what we are feeling, and sometimes the feelings let themselves out. Bianca Lynn Spriggs, a professor of English at Ohio University, in her book Black Mermaid, shares a poem called "To the Woman I Saw Today Who Wept in Her Car." Woman, I get it. We are strangers, but I know the heart is a high, for someone has knocked yours from its high branch in your chest, and it lays cracked and splayed, spilling honey all over the ground floor of your gut, and the bees inside that you've trained over the days and years to stay put swarm the terrain of your organs. Yes, right here in traffic while we wait for the light to change, I get it. How this array of metal and plastic tends to go womb room once the door shuts. And maybe you were singing only moments before you got the call, or remembered that thing you had tucked back and built such sturdy scaffolding all around, and now here it comes to knock you adrift with only your steering wheel to hold you up. Or maybe today was just a tough day, and the sunlight and warm weather and blossoming limbs and smiling pedestrians waiting for their turn to cross are much too much to take. When you think of all that's left to do, then here you are, a reed stuck in the mud of a rush hour intersection with so very many hours left to go. Woman, I know you. I know how that thing, when left unattended, will show up as a typhoon at your front door, demanding to be let in, or it will take the whole damn house with it. I know this place too. I get it. But because we are strangers, because you did not see me see you, my gaze has no more effect than a phantom that stares at the living. And yet, I want you to know that today, in the hive of my heart, there is room enough for you. We have sorrows we must bear, failures, pain, and loss, but sing our praise and thanks. There are a million reasons for us to feel alarmed right now, to experience the bees swarming, to find ourselves wailing in our car. And many of us know that sensation of the pending typhoon if we don't express what's in our hearts soon. Sometimes we need to be by ourselves to process, and others we need the company of a partner, a parent, a friend, a minister, a therapist. We need to be seen and heard and believed, all of us. We need space to process, time to heal, support to keep at it, companionship when it gets really hard. Sometimes it is the kindness of strangers, those we did not see who see us and have room enough in their hearts for us too. I know that some of you, perhaps even all of you, have experienced some joy this week, some beauty. I know that some of you, perhaps all of you, have experienced feeling raw, angry, overwhelmed, and are sad this week. How do we support one another through this terrifying time? This time when the inherent worth and dignity of every person is not affirmed or promoted. So many of us have been on high alert since before the presidential election as we witnessed a bully and a braggart make a mockery of much of what we hold precious. And it has only gotten worse. What do we do? How do we carry on exhausted, fatigued from the wide battery of assaults? How do we care for one another in the process as our feelings and memories and heartbreak bubble to the surface and collide? Some of us wondering how we'll address the tyranny, the loss of human decency, the greed. How can we speak up when fear rules the day, when so much of our lives are at risk? Womanist activist and poet Audre Lorde offers an important reminder in her poem, A Litany for Survival. This is just an excerpt. For those of us who live at the shoreline, standing upon the constant edges of decision, crucial and alone, for those of us who cannot indulge the passing dreams of choice, who love in doorways coming and going in the hours between dawns, looking inward and outward at once, before and after, seeking a now that can breed futures like bread in our children's mouths, so their dreams will not reflect the death of ours. For those of us who were imprinted with fear like a faint line in the center of our foreheads, learning to be afraid with our mother's milk, for by this weapon, this illusion of some safety to be found, the heavy-footed hoped to silence us. For all of us, this instant and this triumph, we were never meant to survive. And when the sun rises, we are afraid it might not remain. And when the sun sets, we are afraid it might not rise in the morning. And when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard or welcomed. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak, remembering we were never meant to survive. On October 6th, 1998, an openly gay young white man named Matthew Shepard was targeted for robbery at a bar in Laramie, Wyoming. 20 years have passed. He was kidnapped by two white men, tied to a fence, and then one pistol whipped him. They stole his shoes and credit card and left him there. Matthew was found by a cyclist about 18 hours later. And though he was rushed to the hospital in Fort Collins, his head injuries were too severe to recover. Vigils occurred all over the country as the news got out of this horrible assault. I was a young adult and running my own business in music therapy. And I remember the horror that so many folks expressed in the news. I remember walking through the streets of Hillcrest in San Diego in silent procession, each of us carrying a candle, many of us weeping, all of us knowing it could have been any one of us. Only a few months before, we learned of the horrific death of James Byrd Jr., an African-American man who had been dragged to his death, tied to a pickup truck by three white men in Texas. And if we dig a little deeper into these stories, there are so many complexities of all the people involved. There are always more details to stories than are told on the news or in courtrooms or Senate hearings or limited FBI investigations. Making space for the complexity is part of resistance. Making space to grieve and rage is part of the transformation this moment is calling for. Speaking the truth even when our voice shakes, even when we are afraid. Julia Watts Belser, who was at the Senate yesterday as part of a clergy delegation led by Rabbi Ruti Regan, had this awareness as Shabbat was coming in on Friday. She posted this on Facebook. I find myself needing a great deal of resilience right about now. How about you? Some hope to hold on to. May these words offer a bit of that. She writes, "There is a long road we have chosen, you and I. We will lose much, and many things we love will turn to ash. We will pour water, sweat, and grief upon cracked ground, and it may not bear seed nor fruit for years. One day I'll hear you say to me, 'I can't. It's just too hard.' And I will feel the truth down to my bones, recall another day, a different hour, how once I said those words to you. You did not tell me lies. You did not feed me platitudes like saccharine pearls. You said, I know. You offered me a hand, that silent signature of flesh and breath. And then we both kept on. Beloveds, we are here right now in this moment, faced with uncertainty and terror and love and power. There is so much happening in our lives. Many of us are overscheduled and underrested. Can I get an amen? But this is not all there is. There must be rest because this is a long road we have chosen. We need pleasure. We need beauty. We need community. For needs which others serve, for services we give, for work and its rewards, for hours of rest and love. Now that I can sing thanks and praise for. And the truth is, my heart breaks over and over for all the Matthew Shepherds and the Brandon Tinas and the James Byrds and the Laquan McDonalds and the Christina Blasey Fords and the Anita Hills and the America Ferreras, for all the grief, the hurt, the anger, the disappointment that is known and hidden in this very room. I bow humbly to the spirit of life and love, and ask for comfort and care to abide with thee. And I offer my hand, because I know. And my heart breaks open over and over for the wisdom of our children and youth in this congregation, for the courage that so many have shown, especially in these past couple of weeks, to tell their stories, to tell your stories, to share some truths. For a jury willing to convict a police officer who failed to protect and serve in Chicago. For two women who won the Nobel Prize in chemistry and physics. For those who will grapple honestly with white fragility in and beyond the book gatherings. For music that heals the soul. For Dumbledore's army. And on a more personal note, my heart breaks open again and again as this week marks Reverend Lynn and my 10th wedding anniversary. Honoring all the joy, celebration, exuberance, and wonder that is hidden and known in this room, I bow humbly to the great spirit of life and love and offer deep gratitude for the blessings showered upon us this and every day. For all that is our life. Being willing to be our whole selves in this place is an act of resistance. Caring for one another is too. Setting healthy boundaries and honoring them is too. May we find that as we ourselves be more healthy, more compassionate, more loving, that other parts of our lives will become more so too. Living more truthfully, more openly, more compassionately, and more justly. For all that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise, for all life is a gift which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad. May it be so. Salam. Shalom. Aho. Ashe. Namaste. Amen. And blessed be.